Friends, today's exceedingly rich liturgy powerfully opens up the door for the sacred triduum, which, as noted earlier, immerses us into the deepest depths of the central mystery of our faith, which is the Paschal mystery. And what we mean by that term is the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. The readings began with that crucial chapter 12 of Exodus, where God gives the law to Moses. Well, Moses is relating the law that God gave to him regarding the Passover meal. And we need to remember that the Passover was the most important, it still is the most important event in all of Jewish history. And the Passover, this is when God leads the Israelites out from the slavery, frees them from slavery to Egypt, leads them out through the desert, they go through the Red Sea. This is the biggest event for them. However, this historical Passover is ultimately fulfilled in Christ's Passover from earth to heaven. And we heard about that at the beginning of the gospel passage. He was talking about going from earth to the Father. That's the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover, is Christ's Passover from earth to heaven. And once we view the Passover in this light, from this perspective, then it comes alive like never before. We can see that the Paschal lamb that's sacrificed in the Old Testament clearly points to Christ. And the very sacrifice of this lamb and the Paschal meal that the Jews are to share, think of the blood of the lamb, the unleavened bread that they're commanded to eat. This clearly points to the cross and to the Eucharist. So there's a clear connection there for us. Christ has become both priest, who offers the sacrifice, and also the victim, the sacrifice itself, so that you can share this saving mystery with him. It's magnificent. If you have his blood on the doorpost of your heart, then he can destroy the darkness and sinfulness within you, just like the angel of death came and destroyed everything that was holding the Hebrews back. This is our dying to ourselves and rising to new life in him, when we have his blood on the doorposts of our heart. And then this sets the stage so that when you die, you can pass over with him into heaven. This is our participation in his Passover. And this is why it is absolutely essential that we continue to celebrate this sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Eucharist, so we can increasingly enter into Christ's Passover while still on earth, letting go of our enslavement to sin and offering up our struggles and sufferings to him, so he can set us free and fill us with his peace and joy as we journey through this life and await eternal joys in the next. Today's responsorial comes from Psalm 116. This is a very beautiful psalm where we clearly see the Eucharist and we clearly see Christ there. And it's beautifully in line with this understanding that we're laying out about the Passover and our participation in it. First, the psalmist asks, "How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me?" How is it even possible? And this is a great question. But before we even ask that question or can grasp it, we must first recognize all of the good that God has done for us. A lot of times we take that for granted and we say, "God, why didn't you do this for me? Or God, I want this. Do this." It's almost like God is our dog. You know, go fetch me something, Lord. Go get me something. I want something. But when we give him thanks, then we realize how much he's really given us. And we're overwhelmed at how much he's really given us. That's where the psalmist is trying to get us to focus. We heard, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones." And here we're starting to see the beauty of that Paschal rhythm, that dying to ourselves and rising to new life every day. "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones." We heard a little bit later, "I am your servant. You have loosed my bonds." So God is serving us servants. He's loosing our bonds. He's letting us go from the slavery to sin and all the other things, the wickedness around us and even within us that holds us back from him. He looses our bonds. This is God's response to your waywardness and sinfulness. Mine too. how gracious, merciful, and wonderful he is. And so now we're starting to see all of the good that the Lord has given us. So we have to go back to that question then. So how am I supposed to make a return? How can I possibly make a return to the Lord? The psalmist continues, the cup of salvation I will take up. He's talking about the chalice that we're going to take up here shortly with the precious blood. Well, he wouldn't have seen that in his day, but that's the fulfillment of it because he was way before Christ. The cup of salvation I will take up. I will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is Eucharistia. That word, that Greek word means thanksgiving. The Eucharist, it means thanksgiving. And this is the only way that we can give God proper thanks, by offering up what he has given us, his only begotten Son, who has died for our sins, and in rising triumphantly over sin, has taken us to himself. And so when we raise up the Eucharist and offer it up, you'll see that's going to happen here shortly. We're raising ourselves up in a very real sense because we're part of the body of Christ. And the Lord delights in that. And that's the way we give him thanksgiving. And that's why we celebrate the Mass. This is precisely what St. Paul is talking about as well when he says in that second reading, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Let us always proclaim this death that brings life until he comes again. And this is when the final Passover is complete from heaven to earth, when the heavens and the earth are recreated and we're taken finally into heaven, body and soul. Today's gospel passage, now we'll take a look at that. It takes place during the Last Supper. This is right in the middle of the Last Supper where Jesus institutes both the Eucharist and the priesthood, both of which are essential. They're required in order to continue offering the sacrifice of the Eucharist. But St. John's account is a bit different because he doesn't give us an institutional narrative like the other three gospel writers. His is the last gospel to be written. And since the institutional narratives had already been well covered, John sheds crucial light on the priestly aspect of the Last Supper. And of course, Paul gives us the institutional narrative in that second reading, as we touched on briefly. In John's account of the Last Supper, Christ strongly emphasizes that charity is absolutely essential for priestly ministry. And so charity is self-emptying love to others. That includes service to others and so on and so forth. And so the ordained priesthood is not just about offering the sacraments and celebrating other church events, which it does involve that, but mission is necessary too, reaching out to our brothers and sisters. And this requires the self-emptying love of Christ. This is that charity that Christ is pointing at. And the supreme act of charity or love is the cross, of course. It's not the washing of the feet. The supreme act is the cross. We're meant to see that connection. Christ says, if I therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. As I have done, you should also do. So yes, he washed the disciples' feet, but he also went all the way to the cross. And so we're called to do that on behalf of others. But I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag a little bit. This isn't just for the ordained priests. Remember that we all share in Christ's priestly ministry by virtue of our baptism. We're baptized into what's called the royal priesthood of Christ. You may have heard about it. We're all priest, prophet, and king, whether you're ordained or not. All of us are priest, prophet, and king with him. And therefore, we're all called to love like him in our different ways. A priest is going to be different for a priest than it is for a father, a grandfather, a grandson, and so on and so forth. But we're all called to love like him, self-emptying love. However, we must also realize that we cannot truly evangelize unless we are first evangelized. We have to be converted, so to speak, first. Otherwise, we don't have anything to offer. So don't be afraid to let Jesus get close to you, to cleanse you, to cleanse your heart. Peter's a little bit scandalized and he's taken aback. Like, come on, Jesus, you can't do that to me. What is this? I should be washing. He doesn't say this, but the implication is I should be washing your feet, right? But what does Jesus say? Unless I cleanse you, you can't come with me. So we can't be afraid to let him come into the darkest spots of our heart that need that deep cleaning. And only then will you come to know who you really are. Beautiful sons and daughters of God, whom he cherishes. Only then will you come to know who you truly are and to know what God's will is for you. And that's so crucial. Because only then will you be able to truly love and serve your brothers and sisters. You can go out and do all these kinds of nice things for people, but usually what happens is it ends up becoming more and more about me. What makes me feel good, what I want to do. And we want a reaction from them, right? Oh, I did this good for you, but you didn't say anything. These kind of things happen if we don't get love right, the self-emptying love. It ends up becoming a self-serving love, even if we might have good intentions. And this also leads to a lack of vocations. People aren't generous with their sons and daughters, with their families, and so on and so forth. We end up in the situation we're in now where we don't have nearly enough ordained priests. And as we had established earlier, we need priests to offer the sacrifice. So we're kind of in a pickle, right? And so it's really important for us to seek to grow deeper and deeper in love with Jesus so that we can share this self-emptying love with others. Okay, friends, as we enter deeper into the sacred Paschal Triduum this year, we're rightly focused on the Eucharist, on priests, and on Passover. These are all fruits of Christ's sacrifice. The church offers this wonderful portrayal up front, before the sacrifice. So we have the proper context when we plunge into the depths of this sacrifice, and we'll do that tomorrow. And then throughout Holy Saturday, we're there with Christ in the tomb. But if we don't understand the context up front, it's more difficult for us to enter into it. So it's very beautiful the way that this is all laid out. And so this approach enables us to more readily follow our Savior's lead and then sacrifice ourselves too, so we can reap the fruits of transformation and authentic freedom. And then, full of peace and joy, we will be free to love our brothers and sisters, not as the world does, but as Jesus, our Savior, does.